to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome to Action Jacks. I'm Tom Alley. This is Brett Weber on the board. S&P futures on 1650. NASDAQ futures down 67. Dow futures down 116. They opened flat last night, but they are not flat anymore. So, Manny, the Bears just don't have enough. The Packers, I think, are pretty good. And our ladies, the team won. What about the Cubs and the Sox? Oh, Cubs and the Sox are nowhere around. I can't believe that Jack Peterson wasn't good enough for us, but now he's playing for Atlanta.
He's good enough for us. They loved him here, but it was very similar to what they did back when Theo and Jed first came in. They signed him knowing they were going to trade him.
And he's still using Rizzo's bat.
I know, I saw that.
So what did you make of the Atlanta's now up to? I thought for sure last night, boy, the people on the air had the Dodgers winning after the first inning home run. Ended up getting like one or two more hits the whole game.
I know the Dodgers were favored in game two, thinking that they were the better team and they would probably even it up. But they lose 5-4 and are now down 2-0 in a best of seven series, which is pretty tough to come back from. Not impossible, but certainly tough to come back from. But they do head back to L.A. where they've been unbeatable.
And they get three there, I think.
Is it 2-3-2?
Yeah, well, I think it's got to be because the Boston wins 2-3-2.
Yeah, I think it's 2-3-2.
But don't you? I mean, I'm not an Atlanta fan of any consequence.
I don't like them at all.
Well, that's what I mean. I can sense that.
I hate the Dodgers too. So it's been kind of an unwatchable series. I hate both the Astros and Red Sox too. So these are four of my least favorite teams. If you threw the Yankees in there, in the Cardinals, then it would be just as bad.
Well, I was kind of hoping that, I'm not a big Tampa fan, but I was kind of hoping they'd be in just for something different. But I love it when the storyline goes awry. How's that for a word? Because last night, last thing you want to do is play the Dodgers the day after a loss in this playoffs because they can't be beat the day after a loss. And the guy whacks a home run in the first bit in the inning just right on cue. See, looks like these guys, All of a sudden, they get two more hits the whole rest of the game. And, but I already bored Maddie with this story, but yesterday, so it's a bunch of workers over and so forth at my place. I'm home, kind of basically watching the game. So I had all kinds of opportunity to put the Bear game on pause before I had to watch all the commercials and all the other crap that goes on there. And watch those guys through, with the fast forward. And that was, pretty much halfway decent because in football, in one man's opinion, most of the pauses in the game are the commercials.
It's actually quite enjoyable to watch a football game that way, whether it's pro or college.
Yeah, well, college is even worse.
Yeah, and I watched the Bear game last week that way against the Raiders. I had stuff going on, and I got it was a late afternoon game, as you'll recall. And if you get home an hour and a half after it starts, you sort of time up to where you get to the last 2 minute warning and you get live, and so it's kind of great.
Well, if you get the system I use, we got RCN. If you hit the pause after a half hour, it starts playing again. So as soon as you go do something else, when you hear it start playing again, it's a half hour. So you go back and if you do that at the beginning of the game or maybe after the first minute, you can catch it about halfway through the second quarter. So, yeah, if you did it for the whole hour and a quarter, you'd probably do the whole game. You could probably, because then halftime, then you watch maybe the last part of the second quarter and hit it again for the halftime. So you can, if you do two half-hour pauses, you're still there for the end. Well, speaking of which, the Minnesota had a good game, huh? They played pretty well. They ended up winning overtime after, Where the hell are they playing?
They're playing at Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's supposed to be decent or no?
They're solid. Yeah. They're solid. They're going to be around 500 and have a chance to get the last playoff spot, as are the Vikings.
You think the Vikings will be
that game was
the
back and forth. I think the Bears are in that same sort of category where they'll be around 500 and have a chance. The Bears just have a really tough schedule.
They play the Patriots next week?
I think they play the Buccaneers.
I was talking about Tom Brady, and they're 13-point dogs.
Yeah, and I would take the, I think I would take the Bears in the points there, but if it's still 13, but I could easily see them losing by 3 touchdowns too. So who knows? And my picks haven't exactly been great of late, but yeah, the Bears have a tough schedule. I do think though that they'll be right in it if they can sort of tread water through the stretch, but. Yeah, you start with the Packers yesterday, which, you know, they were in that game. They had their early and late, the offense had really good drives. But then, you know, sort of the middle of that game, the second quarter and third quarter specifically, the offense couldn't do anything. The officiating was horrific. And then it kept the defense on the field the whole game, and then the Packers sort of got into a groove there. Otherwise, I think the Bears really had a chance to keep that close and have a chance to win it. But anyway.
The holding call in the center I thought was really absurd.
It was just a horrific call. There was the free play Justin Fields thought he had, and he does exactly what you're taught to do, and that's throw it to your deepest receiver when you know you have a free play, because you can, you know, obviously score a touchdown or get another pass interference type play or something like that, and if it gets intercepted or if it gets knocked down, then you get the free 5 yards and you do the play over. And the fact the officials say, oh, we didn't throw a flag, interception, I mean, that was just brutal. And there was just a lot of bad calls.
Well, how did the defense jumped, which caused one of the offensive guys to jump. So if it wasn't one, it had to be the other. There had to be a flag in that play.
Right, there had to be. And he snapped it with the guy standing across the line of scrimmage, which is what you're supposed to do. He saw the guy jump. He snapped it immediately. And had the free play. Aaron Rodgers does this 5 times a game.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't throw the flag was just incredible. And there was a handful of questionable. I didn't think that crew had a good game yesterday. But so you start with Packers, you lose that game. Okay, that's a game maybe you could have won. You're at home, you know, but whatever. Now you're at Tampa Bay. That's almost a guaranteed loss. You take the 49ers on at home. That's going to be similar to the Packer game where you'll have a chance to win, but you could easily lose. You're at the Steelers. They're not as good this year, but they won last night. That's going to be tough. Then the Ravens come into town. They're one of the best teams in the league. Then you go at Detroit, which you should win that game. But
you don't win that one. You might not have another win.
Yeah, but they're tough at home. Then the Cardinals come into town. They're the best team in football right now and undefeated. Then you're at Green Bay, so you're going to lose that game. And then the Vikings come to town. I mean, that stretch is brutal. And they have to tread water in that stretch. And if they can somehow sniff 500, you know, they're 3-3 right now. If they can come out of that, you know, 7-game stretch and be somewhere like,
They're 3-4 in it. I don't see them doing that.
6-8 or something like that. They're 3-3 right now. Then you still have a shot in a 17-game season to win the final three, be 9-8, and you know, have a chance. But if you don't, your season's probably over. And a lot of it's going to be Justin Fields getting better. I mean, this rookie running back looks outstanding. Khalil Herbert backing up David Montgomery. He was a 6th-round pick. He looks great. The offensive line's been a lot better. The receivers have been solid, and Fields is getting better week after week, I think. The defense has been really good, and, you know, Quinn and Mack were all over the field again yesterday, but then when the offense had that big lull in the middle of the game, the defense was just on the field the whole game, and that was it. Your offense has to score more than 14 to beat anybody in this league.
Well, especially Green Bay.
Yeah, and so, you know, you lose 24-14, but you felt like you're right in that game, and just a couple of things didn't go your way, and a couple of drives got stalled. I thought they played it looked like it was all setting up perfectly. When you defer, you win the coin toss at the beginning of the game, you defer to get the ball in the second half. You're kind of hoping it plays out exactly how they did. They stopped Green Bay, then they went down and scored, go up 7-0, and then they got the ball, you know, then it's 7-7, but they get the ball right before the half. And then Fields thinks he has the free play, throws the interception, whatever. There's another drive where they had a chance to score, and they're in field goal range, and then they had like a penalty or a big sack, and they get knocked out of field goal range. I mean, just really flubbed it up. where they should have had the lead going into the half and then getting the ball at the end of the third quarter. Instead, they don't, and then they start the third quarter, and their offense is just out of whack like it was at the end of the second quarter. And they just had this big lull where they couldn't do anything, and the defense was on the field, and Green Bay starts, you know, getting confidence, and it's just really frustrating because I feel like they're close.
What, always got to bring up kind of a negative thought, but the issue in gambling in sports, and you know we're going to talk about this later in the show. I don't want to do it twice. Regarding you know this inflation disaster, I think that is about to hit us. And man, I'm going to get at some point, maybe while you're here today or tomorrow or whatever, I'm going to actually talk a little bit about where I think this is going. And because I've been doing a little work on it, and I want you to, if you can isolate that piece and like tweet it out or something, because I'm telling you, this is going the wrong way. I mean, I wouldn't be a bit surprised now by middle of next year we don't have like a 10 spot on this inflation number, maybe even more. We're gonna have a period in there where it's like 10 or 12. I was around all weekend doing stuff, and I'm telling you, it is out of control. We're talking about stuff where, you know, places where French fries used to be a buck and a half are now like $2.75 and stuff. I mean, it's not even, if you're starting looking for percentage terms on some of this stuff, I mean, it is off the chart. And, anyway, but I don't, you see that call the other night on the check swing that essentially turned this, well, it ended the series with, and you see the plays yesterday in the game. And I'm saying that I've never seen a bad, you didn't see calls that bad when you only had a head linesman. Now you got two people, for God's sake. The holding on the center, the hands never left the middle. The guy never turned. I mean, it's, let's put it this way. Is somebody grabbing something, somebody in comparison to when I used to play, man, you could not grab anybody at all. But now, as long as it's between the shoulders, you can grab on the offensive line. Remember we had Doug Redman on, talked about he was the first guy in the Big Ten to have gloves on his lineman the same color of the jersey of the other team.
Until they outlawed that.
Until they outlawed that. But I mean that when you say holding, it's not that you can't hold. If you engage somebody right in front of you, you can grab his jersey. That's why the defensive linemen wear everything so tight, right? Or even the offensive linemen, because they want the defensive lineman grabbing his jersey and throwing him.
Yeah.
So the stuff is on like a freaking girdle, for God's sake. I mean, that's why, and there's hardly any pads underneath for that reason. You can't grab pads either. There's nothing to grab. So, but there's no way that call gets made. But the offside call. But at some point, when we have people like advertising during the game to make a bet during the game, at some point is somebody going to say on some ridiculous call, wait a minute, is this as clean as it should be? I mean, you can't go down that road and not have an incident at some point. You know, it's like pouring money into the system and all of a sudden somebody's price goes up. Gee, how did that happen? I mean, you think I'm all wet on this or what? I mean, I know it's a much better job to be an umpire or a ref now than it used to be, but still, or a player. The money is all over the place. How do you expect everybody to not be, that not one person is going to be affected by it?
Well, the only thing I'll say is that the officiating in the Bear game was so bad. I mean, it was just as bad for the Packers as it was the Bears. So, I mean, I do think it evened out over the course of the game. So I don't think the fix was in there. But to your point, I mean, is that impossible? Of course it's not impossible.
Has anybody been thinking about this? I mean, we have a, you know, and without disparaging any of the players, of course, everybody says that. First thing, next thing you do is disparage them, right? We have a terrific guest on the show every Thursday, you know, Lou Michaels, who used to be an agent, been around football his entire life, and the reason why he, I think, stopped being an agent is because all these people want so much money up front and his law firm won't go for it. Is that really the story, basically?
It sounds, yeah, that's certainly a big part of it.
Yeah, so, but I mean, but he would say when the last time they went on strike, within like, what was it, 4 weeks or whatever the hell they went on, whatever, however long it was supposed to be. Because these guys, you know, not everybody, I mean, certainly not Aaron Rodgers doing State Farm commercials, but, because these guys are broke. They're already borrowing money for their agent, you know, and because if they don't have them, they can't go without a paycheck or two. I mean, they must spend all the money in the offseason. I don't know, but anywho. And they immediately, what, they threw the rookies under the bus, right? Saying that it was a salary cap on players that just got drafted. Explain to me exactly what power, what negotiating power does somebody have coming into a league where you just got drafted and you can only sign with one guy? I had conversations with some of my buddies that after maybe a couple of adult beverages, and I really hoped it was the adult beverages, not that they were that ignorant about economics. They go, oh, yeah, man, these rookies are killing the league. And I go, what are you talking about? They only can negotiate with one person. They can't go anywhere else. How is that negotiating power? Man, I don't know, but they're sure getting too much done. Okay, another subject, please. like really? I mean, suppose Manny, your oncoming little one gets drafted by Arthur Anderson or something. They're not around anymore in the Big Eight, and they can't go sign anywhere else. Would you be worried how much your little one is gonna beat up on Arthur Anderson? I'm thinking no. Where's the power come from? He's gonna go paint houses? I don't think these guys have another alternative job, do you?
No. I mean, the only holdouts that have worked of late, Eli Manning held out and said, I'm not going to go to San Diego at the time when they were going to draft him number one, and he just said, I'm not going to go there. And he was able to maneuver his way to New York where he wanted to go. John Elway did the same thing. He held out and said, I'll go play baseball.
Well, he at least had another place to go.
He at least had another way to go. Eli didn't, and it still worked. There's been a couple of, I mean, that's your only sort of bargaining chip when you're about to get drafted, but it really only kind of works if you're the number one guy and you know exactly where you're going.
But that's not the same as saying, you offered me $1 million and somebody else wants to pay me $2 million, I'm going there. I'll bet that when Elway went to Denver, he took less money than he would have in Indianapolis.
Very possible.
But
yeah.
there's no money negotiation there, right? That's what I'm talking about. There's two different kinds. One is he didn't want to play there. He didn't want to get killed because he had no offensive line, right? That was a problem. He didn't like the ownership, but it wasn't like, you know, these guys are only offering me $2 million. I want $4 million. Will anybody match it? That's the kind of negotiation I'm talking about. Then there's none of that, right?
No, I don't think so.
So anywho, but I mean, what do you think baseball's going to do about the length of the game? I mean, this 4 hour, 3-2 game or 2-4-2 game is just, I mean, at least, I used to watch when I was a kid, the Pro Bowlers tour. And I always, you know, cause I mean, what can you do? Can you imagine if every time the guy went to do the spare, he's standing there staring at the pins for 2 minutes and, all of a sudden, a human interest story about the lady that drills the bowling balls. I mean, what do you need all that crap for? I mean, do we really have to go down and talk to the coach and talk about somebody's, you know, what some guy did in the minor leagues while he's supposed to be in the batter's box? And why can't we just?
They got to give all those people jobs, I guess. I've never once gotten any sort of value from any of the pre and post game shows or any of the sideline reporter shows, but they all have them now, so they must get something out of them. Some people must like them. I mean, Aaron Andrews and those people make a lot of money.
Well, I think you have to do it. I mean,
I don't get it, but
well, you need.
And I know they want women involved in sports, and so that's an avenue for women to get involved, and I get that. But does it add anything to the game? No. In fact, I think it takes away from the game. I think it makes it worse.
Well, I mean during the game. I mean, the pre and post,
they have to fill the time.
Yeah, they got to fill the time.
So, especially if you're a sports channel, if you're an MLB Network or NFL Network or ESPN or, you know, anything like that, you have to fill the time. I mean, you're doing sports programming 24/7. So if you have a big game, then, you know, you have a great opportunity to talk about it for 2 hours before the game and certainly during the halftime, and then maybe even a post-game show. I get that. But if you're on ABC or something like that, you know, you're not going to have a big, huge pregame show except for maybe once a week because, you know, they have other programming that they can go to. But the sideline reporter and all the human interest stories and all that stuff, I mean, that is just garbage. I don't get that at all. But they do it, so some people must watch it.
I think it's just to give them the other half hour or make the game as long as they can.
For more commercials?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, although they typically do the sideline stuff like in between plays for like 15 seconds here, you know, 20 seconds here. So I don't know if that's going to extend the game or not.
No, it probably doesn't. But I just find it very difficult. I mean, it almost seems okay if we had five or six people sitting there and we're, you know, talking about other stuff or watching the game, you know, having a couple of cocktails, or if you're in a bar someplace, it almost seems, you know, palatable. But to actually sit there by yourself, it's brutal. I mean, it's just not a 4-hour event. I mean, what does a 7-inning softball game take? 55 minutes?
Yeah, and if you're both sides are playing defense, I mean, we've had games take 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's no commercials. You're what, 1 minute in between innings.
Well,
and you're about what, 5 or 10 seconds between pitches.
Well, they must give you they must give you more time between innings in playoff games. I mean, I think the when the Cubs and the Sox during a regular season, isn't it? I think it's 2.5 minutes. It's got to be 3.5 or something during for a playoff game.
That could very well be.
I mean, I don't think it's that much more. It's not like it's double or anything, but it's a lot. And well, I remember going to a Bear game with my and you know, we never tailgated before, so we just, you know, my cousin, not my uncle. He wasn't a drinker. We never did we just go right to the game. So I'd meet him there at the gate, and then we'd go. And there was a game. One of the many years the Bears were awful. And I'm sitting there, and I think it was like 10 degrees. You know, and it was sunny. It wasn't awful, awful, because I dressed for it. I'm sitting there, and the Bears end up, they're playing, and I don't know who the hell they're playing, but so the Bears come out there, and they get the ball, and it's, you know, the end of the first quarter, there's no score. So the Bears go three and out, three passing plays when they couldn't pass at all. Okay, so then there's like the 2.5-minute commercial. So then the other team comes in and throws an interception. There's a 2.5-minute commercial. Then the Bears go three and out on passes again. Then somebody come. Then those guys like score a touchdown like on the next play. And then it was the end of the quarter, and it was something like 2 minutes off the clock, and it was half an hour off my watch. I'm sitting there. I'm going to be here like all day. Just like really. I mean, no mercy on you. You know, if the ball changes hands like 2 seconds before the end of the quarter, there's like a full commercial thing, and then as soon as the quarter ends, well, that's like a 4-minute break, right? I mean, you sit there and go, what am I doing here? And you know, I think it's just tough. You know, if we were out, you know, if there were 8 of us and we'd been in the parking lot for 5 hours and everybody's trashed, maybe then the time goes faster or something. But it can be really bad, you know, especially if the weather's horrible and there's no mercy. I refuse to go to an Irish game, and people say, why the hell wouldn't you go? Well, I was there for the Lightning game, and a guy, it was like maybe 2 minutes before halftime, and this storm is coming at us, right? And I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. The guy on the sidelines calls the TV timeout, like with 3 minutes to go and a half. I go, these guys are out of their friggin' mind. The storm is going to be here in a second. They didn't care. We did the TV timeout, and then all of a sudden, as soon as the timeout was over, they say something like, would usher number one please come to the booth? And I nudge my brother, and I go, that's code for they're gonna shut the game down. He goes, you're out of your mind. I said, I don't think so. Sure enough, they go, we're stopping the game. Would everybody really head to the protected areas and, you know, whatever, orderly, but as quickly as possible. So they ended up with like a minute and a half to go in the half. Then they had to come back, played a minute and a half, and had like a brief halftime. I'm like, what are you doing? They have a commercial literally a minute before you know you're going to stop the game. As soon as I saw that, I said, you know, I'm never coming back here. And I never have. You know, I mean, that might be a little too harsh. But
they have obligations.
Yeah, they have obligations.
They signed multi-million dollar contracts with the TV station. I mean, it's pretty clear.
Well, you also have, you know, what's your It's an $80 million gate? 80,000 people times $100?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you don't have any obligation there?
You have obligation to both, I guess. But you didn't sign a contract saying with the fans that you're gonna have a limited number of commercial breaks if there's lightning.
Well, no,
you signed a contract with the TV that they have to play a certain amount of commercials.
Well, the fans have zero rights. You see that.
They have a right not to go.
Well, but I'm saying when I say zero rights, I mean the Cubs, you know, definitely did the bait and shift on the fans this year. You thought you were going to have a real team. And when they charge, what do the Cubs have to be, what, the second or third highest prices in baseball?
They're probably top five for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Boston's probably higher. New York's probably higher. But who else?
Yeah, I think the Cubs would probably be right there third place, something like that, fourth place.
Yeah, I mean, maybe L.A., but they've got a bigger place. Actually, San Francisco, I think, might be there, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's some teams with some big ticket prices, but the Cubs are right in the thick of it.
Have you ever seen a big market team ever change teams that dramatically in the middle of the season?
No, not like they did, no. Not when you trade three guys, especially with Bryant and Baez, that are sort of not even in their prime yet as far as age is concerned. You trade all three guys on the same day like that. I've never seen anything like that, no.
Well, the decimation of the pitching core, I think, actually was worse on the team record than losing those guys. I mean, they pretty much...
Not that they really had a pitching core.
What I'm saying...
Their starting pitching was terrible all season.
But they had an okay relief staff, and how many guys did they pitch there? They pitch out there.
Yeah, they traded, you know, the four best of them, absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, but I think later in the year, when they started losing, you know, 10-2 every day, it was more those guys were gone than that Bryant and Rizzo were gone. What you think?
I think it was a combination of it all, yes. The starting pitching was bad all season, and then but the bullpen was good for a while there in the first half. Then they traded their bullpen guys, so now the bullpen was just as bad as the starters. Then, you know, meanwhile, you traded your whole lineup, but some of the new guys filling in for the lineup actually did just as well, if not better, than the starters.
Well, I mean, I think the Swindell, who's the guy who played first?
Schwindel played first, and then Patrick Wisdom played third.
Those two guys arguably were about as good.
Yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact, you could probably say better. Maybe not than Bryant, but the first baseman was wherever that guy came from, but I don't know if he could do it for a whole year. I mean, and clearly Rizzo's a leader of the team and a great fielder and everything else, but the point is, I mean, I think the relief pitchers, once you did that, every game started to be what? The last, even if a starter made it five innings, the game was still 10-2.
Yeah.
Anyway, S&P futures down 875, NASDAQ futures down 20. We've come back some. Come back with Mr. John Flanagan. We'll talk about what's going on over in China. Another few companies are going on. It's not just Evergrande. Boy, imagine that. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures now down 1050. We're down more than that when we came in. As that futures down 25. So, she's not one of your, one of our friends on our, where we have friends on Facebook. I don't know if we do that anymore. Allison Williams, she's leaving ESPN because she refused to get a vaccination, maybe?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know her. She's I assume out of New York, But yeah, saw that.
Is that a shot in saying that if you're not in New York, you don't get these jobs?
Well, I think that's where they all live, is Bristol, Connecticut, and they're all kind of based over there.
Yeah, all right. I did not know that. Our guy was doing the radio.
Although they do have L.A. people. They do have an L.A. office, too.
Our guy was doing the radio with, what's her name, Jessica? Boog. ESPN Radio. I'll listen again.
Oh, yeah?
He actually works pretty well with her. Better than he does with Shakes, I think. Anyway, I think she's really good. I don't know. I would have rather had her than what's his name, A-Rod, but they didn't ask me. Anyway, over in Europe, the Dow was down 92, was down over 100. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 86.6%. FTSE only down 18, that's 0.3%. CAC around down 53.8%. Just a review of Friday. We're up again. We're up most of the last week. It was a big week. Dow was up 382. Was a full 1%. S&P up 33.75%. NASDAQ was up 73. That's a half of 1%. We've got Asia today. Nikkei down 43. That's 0.1%. Not much. Shanghai down 4. Call that flat. Hang Seng up 78.3%. So, most of the Asian stocks are maybe down a little bit, but we've got a story here about, debt over there, which we'll talk about in a second. Bonds. Up 1 basis point to 1.59, again pushing that 1.60 number. Bund minus 0.14, which is lower again, not the minus 0.111 it got to last week, but we'll see. Japan up positive 0.09, so it's the high end of the range there. Oil up $1.25, $83.53. That's 1.5%. I paid, $83.43 or something, which is a pretty good chunk for a drink in a Suburban. Brent up 85 cents, 85.71. Natural gas down 7 cents at 5.33. However, at the Menards, one of the young guys moving the carts around had a huge case of Suburban Envy. Man, I love that truck. I love those years. I go, thanks, buddy. Here, you want to buy? No, I didn't say that. Arbob up a penny to 2.50. We got gold, still can't go anywhere, down $4, 17.64. It'll run for the roses 2 weeks ago, but right back down here in this mid to upper 1700 range. Silver down 5 cents, 23.29. Copper up 2 cents, 4.75 as copper continues strong. We've got Bitcoin up 640 to 61,208. Anybody got forced traffic, weather, sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash down south, southwest on the tri-state southbound just before 95th Street. This crash is involving two semis that's blocking the two right lanes and causing significant delays on the southbound I-294 tri-state there just before 95th Street. So keep that in mind. That's causing some backup. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson traffic building right around Cicero there near the airport, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Eisenhower looking good. Same for the Edens. The Kennedy, you have some O'Hare traffic, but all quiet otherwise. And the only other crash in the area is out in the western suburbs, Route 83 at 3rd Avenue, Kingery Highway there. There is a crash, but everything else all quiet. Weather today, it's going to be a very nice mid-October day here. A sunshine with a high of 70. Right now it's clear and 50 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 84 today. Right now it's clear and 64. In sports, the Bears are back to 500 at 3-3 after losing at home to Green Bay yesterday. 24-14 was the final. Justin Fields had a couple of good drives, including his last drive, which is probably his best drive as starting quarterback. But overall, not a great game. 16 of 27, 174 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's good for a 75.2 QB rating, as he just can't quite take the next step here and get into more yardage per attempt and less turnovers. He was also sacked four times. Rookie running back Khalil Herbert filling in for David Montgomery and Damian Williams, the backup, but was really good. 19 carries, 97 yards, over a five-yard average. He also had a touchdown and had a second touchdown called back from a phantom holding call. But he was very good. And then Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn continue to have great seasons. Each had a sack, as the Bears led the NFL in sacks heading into yesterday's game. Added a couple more, but not enough as they lose to Green Bay 24-14. The Arizona Cardinals are undefeated, best record in football now at 6-0. They went to Cleveland and blew out the Browns 37-14. Sunday Night Football, it was the Steelers hanging on to beat the Seahawks in overtime 23-20. Major League Baseball, the Braves are now up 2-0 in the NLCS, Chief. They beat the Dodgers 5-4. And lastly, the Chicago Sky are your 2021 WNBA champions, bringing the first title to Chicago. They beat Phoenix yesterday 80-74 to win that series 3-1. Chief.
John, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. So, Maddie, you noticed you spotted a shooting right near you, 2000 West North, right?
Yeah, there was, there in Wicker Park. I live like Armitage and Damon, so about four or five blocks north of the big Wicker Park intersection of North Milwaukee and Damon. So certainly walking distance, and walk through that area a lot. So you had a shooting outside of a club a week ago at night, where four or five people were shot as someone sprayed bullets into a crowd after some sort of altercation, killing one person. That was bad enough, but those things can happen after a nightclub.
Only in Chicago.
At 3 in the morning.
Five people?
Yes. Well, we love our guns here, and we love shooting as many people as we can. But the at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, when people start coming into the neighborhood and robbing people at gunpoint, that's not what you want. And someone got shot, thankfully not killed, as in an attempted robbery. And, of course, I don't think there are any suspects or anything like that. So now that's happening while people are walking their dogs or pushing their strollers around in the middle of the afternoon on a Friday. And that's kind of scaring the neighborhood. And I don't think you want people from other neighborhoods coming in and spraying bolts around.
Maddie, we don't care about that. We're worried about people's vaccinations.
Yeah. So, the priorities are pretty backwards right now. And I know there's a lot of reasons why, and I know it's I've said this before, I don't know the answers, I really don't, but I can tell you that when you have your tax-based neighborhoods and people are starting to get scared to go outside, they're going to leave, and that's going to be a really big problem.
There's no way anybody could refute what you just said. It's the first time that maybe's ever happened from you.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty simple. It doesn't have to be about race. It doesn't have to be about any sort of dynamics other than you have neighborhoods that support the tax burden in the city, and you have neighborhoods that don't. And if people in the neighborhoods that don't go into neighborhoods that do and start shooting those people, they're going to leave, and then you have nobody supporting the tax burden in your city.
So it didn't really make you feel any better that your mayor and the head of the police union are fighting all week over vaccinations?
I mean, I've tuned that out for so long now that I don't pay attention to it, but it is a little frustrating when you have real problems that are tangible, that are right in front of you, and you're fighting about stuff that is just optical, that no one gives a rat's ass about. It's really something.
Well, we're short, from what I understand, 1,000 policemen from what we're supposed to have, and I don't see anybody anywhere. I was on the expressways all weekend. John, I know you're here. I'm not forgetting you.
I agree with everything Matt and you have been saying.
I had a couple guys buzz by me on the shoulder on the Stevenson at about 80 miles an hour. when there was traffic Saturday heading out to Audrey's. It just there is absolutely no increase of any sort of we'll put some more cameras in, we'll do something, we'll line somebody's pockets. Matter of fact, John, I never usually do this, but I'm kind of over this. I mean, it just reaches the point where you're just over it. I get the letter from my, I don't want to say anything bad. Michelle Smith is my alderman. I'll just say that. And, I don't know. I'm going to say, nice lady, probably trying hard. Who the hell knows? Totally clueless. She sends out this missive about there's going to be a neighborhood meeting about more cameras and how everybody wants to get more cameras. So I write back. I said, what is the matter with you? Don't you understand that Chicago has more cameras? Now, of course, I'm going to get people writing into me. Last time I looked, I could be wrong now, because I think like some areas in Venezuela or someplace has more, but the last time I looked, the only city in like what I would consider to be the normal free world, I'm going to get, vilified for that, has more cameras than we do is London. And yet we have the worst crime of any city, anything like that. Now, I'm sure somebody's going to say there's more murders in Caracas. Who cares? I care, I guess. I don't want anybody to see anybody get shot. But I'm talking about in this country, there's nothing like what's going on here. Nothing. I mean, New York, not even close. I mean, L.A., not even close. There's some other cities that are getting worse. I get it. But there's nothing like this. There's 55 people shot this weekend. And 10 people murdered. This isn't even a bad weekend, And I just want to know, are you one of the people that are getting greased by the kickbacks on these cameras? Because they're doing no good whatsoever. And to spend money on those things is insane when you don't have any police or you don't have anybody around. I mean, John, am I wrong here? Or am I going crazy?
Tom, I'm as dispirited as you are by all of this, and you begin to think that it has to be some financial benefit to somebody or other who's got a contract to somebody that gives us cameras that end up not increasing the likelihood that anybody will be charged, let alone convicted, for any of these crimes. You link that to what's gone on at the county level with the state's attorney. And the Attorney General of the state of Illinois, you just go right up the chain. There seems to be no interest in the problems associated with rampant urban crime. And, this to me indicates that somebody somewhere along this chain of command wants this to happen. And I have to say again, I think there's a benefit to certain, factions in this country and elsewhere, if people in a first world country and in a once prosperous city become dispirited and demoralized, there's a value in weakening people and beating them down and making them think that this is the new normal and nobody cares and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't really get out of Dodge because there's a worse Dodge maybe in preparation down the road for you. It isn't like you can escape it. And the fact that nobody seems horrified by it at a higher level makes me think this is a plan that's just rationing along in perfect sync with whatever the bigger plan was. I know that sounds very cynical, but that's the only way I could justify why this happens the way it does. It can't be because so many people are so clueless. It's because enough people have decided this is what we're going to have, and we're getting it in spades.
What road we want to go down here, but
right. There's rabbit holes everywhere. Tom.
Well, but the point is, it's a. I'll just say this. I'll say the area where I know something about. Actually, I know something about a lot of these areas because I talk to people more than most. But the idea that you can let an economic engine the size of Chicago become this vulnerable. And just say, well, it's okay, people are moving to like Nashville. Hey, you know what? Nashville's not Chicago. I got news for you when it comes to, participation into the economics of this world. Okay, maybe we can take the CBOE and bring them down to Kansas City. Well, I guess maybe you can, but instead of having 2,000 people working, you got 5 people working, putting mark, not 5 people, but you've got 5. Everything affects everything else, John. And what, and this mess we've got going here, and we are somehow or another, the race thing is on top of whatever's going on here. And it's, and I hate even, you know, but you can't not see it, because the problems are, most of the problems are problems that are coming from, at least at this stage, although some other communities are, you know, having the same issues, at least at this stage are coming from the African-American community. And it's not yesterday. It's come from the total degradation of families, the total degradation of, there's no fathers around. And now, did the welfare system, did a lot of the things that the white people do add to that agony or that problem? Yeah, I mean, there's fault all over the place. But right now, you are faced with roving gangs of 18 to 25 year old black males running around in cars that are not even organized to the point where you can go to a Jeff Fort and say, hey, lay off the Mount Carmel kids, lay off the St. Rita kids. There's nobody even to go to. These are roving gangs with nobody really on top. There's somebody maybe selling the drugs or doing this, or there's some modest form of connection, but it really isn't anything like that. It's like packs of rabid dogs running around not caring who they shoot tonight. And now the thing is the Ontario Feeder. There was another shooting there. Well, if you're coming out of a club downtown, you better get them on the feeder before they get in the expressway, because they're going 100 miles an hour on the expressway. It used to be the turnover by McCormick Place, John, where you'd see a shooting every other week there because right. You had to slow down. It was like you shot Kennedy because you had to slow down going to Dealey Plaza. I mean, what is going, but how is it, I mean, somewhere along the line, with the leadership in the city, which is almost all black, has decided this isn't a problem, or it's not a problem we can address because we're black. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've never seen a situation in my experience where somebody who was the white police chief saying, I can't arrest that guy because he's white. I mean, what is the dynamic going? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm not gonna call anybody racist or anything like that, but I'm looking at the dynamic and I'm going, what is going on here? We got people getting shot by the second, and somebody else can't wait to let people out of jail because they shouldn't be in jail because they've had a rough life. And I'm going, who cares if they had a rough life? They just shot somebody. I mean, did anybody care if Hitler had a rough life when he killed himself? Where everybody said, thank you, God, he's dead, right? I mean, he had a rough life. Okay, I mean, somebody should have helped him along the way. God knows he should have better fed. It doesn't matter to me. The fact is, the guy ended up being an animal. And there's been a million white animals, and now we got some million black animals. Not a million, a few. Not nowhere near as many as there have been white animals. But, I mean, John, we got to stop this. I mean, this is not the time to fire half your police force because they won't take a vaccine when half of them probably already had it. I mean, what are we doing here?
And what's worse, Tom, is you have, you know, Lightfoot with this deadline to go onto the city's portal to declare your vaccination status as a Friday, and if you didn't comply with the vaccination requirement, that you would be put on unpaid administrative leave. And then the song and dance that plays out from that is, well, nobody has been laid off. You know, maybe that will happen down the road. But the only thing worse than having a mandate like that is having a mandate that you don't enforce. Either you have a mandate or you don't. And nobody at this point would ever rescind a mandate because all the energy everywhere we're getting browbeaten day after day that these mandates have to be tightened rather than loosened. So if anybody says, you know, Delta backed down on it, and I suspect some other airlines and large corporations are going to have to back down eventually, but certainly Lightfoot isn't going to be one of these people in the vanguard. But had she just, you know, she doesn't want to appear weak, and so she ends up looking stupid. And I'm sorry, I have no patience with somebody who governs that way, where she turns it into a personal struggle against, you know, her values and some other person's values, who she freely insults left and right. You can't be a mayor of a city when you got big egos all over the place in various jobs and think yours is the biggest ego and you're the smartest person in the room, because she's not, clearly. But she acts as if she is, and you can't criticize her. She would never take the smart approach. She'll take the clumsy approach and declare herself the winner. Well, you know, look at what she's got to show for that kind of style.
Well, in terms of the, again, I'm certainly no chemist, and I'm certainly no doctor, but I read a book about pitchers a few times, so I guess I can say something. It appears to me, if you watch what's going on with these vaccines, and I'm going to say, by the fact that I have people close to me that have not taken the vaccine, bothers the living crap out of me because I'm worried about them. Okay, and it's obvious to me, and maybe I could be wrong, that if you get the COVID, it's an easier slug through it. Now, I had a real easy time. I was lucky. I could have been, pushing up daisies, but I'm not. And I'm thankful for that. But it seems to me that it's an easier slog if you had a vaccine than if you didn't. Anyway, that's my observation of what's going on. It's also very obvious to me that these vaccines are not working anywhere near what people said they were going to work, and whether it's sick. We were oversold on you being, not being able to get it, and oh, by the way, not being able to transfer it on to other people. So, and unbeknownst to most, because we'll never hear about it, around the rest of the world, I'm seeing study after study that says the people that have had it, that they're actually tracing, that the antibodies are lasting way more than anybody ever guessed. They're out to about a year. Now, granted, some people, if you're compromised at all, don't develop the antibodies as strong as everybody else, but for people who are healthy, you're good to go 8 to 12 months after you've had it and going strong. I mean, it may go further than that. It may totally peter out after 18 months. We don't know yet, but so far, the best people that are worried about this, I mean, in terms of getting it again or giving it to somebody else, is somebody who's already had it. I mean, I think I can absolutely categorically say that's true. And I'm also going to say, John, that while everybody else was sitting at home, the teachers are sitting at home doing nothing except wearing masks, getting sandwiches and mail delivered, the policemen never had a day off, ever. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that probably 60% of the policemen have already had it, or damn near 50 or something. And they're not any danger to you anyway. Now, if somebody were to say, I already had it, why does the guy got to get a vaccine? I mean, we're not going to believe him? If they already had it, what's the difference? Those are people most likely. I mean, what about the garbage truck drivers? Did they ever get a day off? Not that I know of. Do you think they're wearing a mask in their garbage truck all day long with a guy sitting next to them? I mean, are we going to understand this, or are we going to be idiots?
Tom, I go even further and say I would bet 90 to 95% of such workers have achieved something like herd immunity within their group. And, nobody talks about herd immunity anymore. But we're going on 2 years of this nuts stuff by now, and you would think if there was something loose in the world, everybody's got it by now. If they don't, they've been working really hard to stay in some bubble and never come out of it. How else could you escape it? But you can't even say that and not be assaulted, by all the people who've got a vested interest in these vaccines being the solution instead of a problem.
You can't get a straight story.
Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, was on Fox News yesterday, and he's one of the few people who talks about the vaccine adverse effect reporting system that the CDC has, and how the numbers are pushing 17,000 deaths according to that. And of course, the pushback always is, well, there's no causation there. That's just what people anecdotally report. Anybody can report to this system. But some people are saying that such reports are underreported by a factor of 41, meaning that compared to vaccines in the past that have involved reporting to the system, that had large gaps between what was really happening and what actually got reported, these are potentially enormous deaths. Then you add on the disabilities and the long-term effects, which are astronomical, in the hundreds of thousands already on the various reporting system. But do you really think anybody else is going to get up on a podium and tell the world that Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson have been selling you a lousy product and it should never have been released, it should never have been approved, even emergency use authorization? You'll never hear that because we're so far into it now that the entire healthcare industry would crash if the truth really came out. So you have to kind of wink and say, well, let your story be the one that everybody hears, but it isn't the true story, and it's not even close to the true story.
I think that the getting the vaccines out as fast as they did was actually really pretty good, and I won't give her name, but she used to be one of our assistant executive producers. I had a chance to say hello to her the other day. just coming out of a COVID, now in the mid-20s, healthy as a horse, just had the COVID, hit her pretty bad. 103 temperature for 3 days, has zero sense of smell. And I go, okay, did you have the vaccine? Oh, no. And I felt like saying, I don't know, if your daughter, could you smack her upside the head? No, you wouldn't even do that. But what's the matter with you?
But, Tom, these vaccines have now, what they're admitting is it may have a 65% effective rate.
I'm splitting hairs here. What I'm saying is, in terms of you getting it, I think the rate of Johnson & Johnson's after 8 months is down to what, 30-some, as whether you can get it or not. But I honestly do believe, John, that if you had the vaccine, when you do get it, you get it way less virulently.
Well, not anymore, Tom, because the rates in Israel and other countries show that the hospitalization rates are far higher now among the vaccinated than the unvaccinated. So, I mean, pick your poison, but, you know, I'll pick the poison that doesn't involve putting anything into me. I'll take my chances.
Well,
so the vaccine this poorly tested and with no liability whatsoever. And, the song and dance about the community solution, which isn't even available in this country, that's the only approved one. But you got talking heads on TV constantly telling you the vaccines are safe and approved. They're not. It's a flat-out lie.
Well, we got to be 2 months away from having to take a booster.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's coming. But what I'm saying is, I think that when they came out, to me, I don't, you're right. They're down to whatever, but I still think that it's helped people somewhat, a lot. It's helped people a lot. I really do. I mean, but now it needs to be changed, John, because it's a vaccine for the disease that was here 2 years ago. Right?
Well, I'll tell you when this whole thing collapsed for me, Tom, was when I saw that the flu cases in Australia at the height of their flu season had gone from usually to 10 to 80,000 in a bad year, had dropped to 5. And they finally stopped even tabulating flu cases because there weren't any. And the CDC, said the same thing. Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci said almost a year ago, we're not even going to count flu cases. And because when they were counting them, there were none of them. It's just they moved everything from one column to another, and what we have is a particularly bad flu. They've called it something else. There's been no spiking in mortality rates. There's been no excessive death until the vaccines were introduced.
I know,
and I think you can attribute it to things that have nothing to do with COVID.
I'm going
to
say that I agree with you on a lot of stuff, but I don't buy that one. Because the reason why I don't is because maybe for the general population, Jan, but as I said, I've unfortunately, I know you do too, I've been piling through an awful lot of this stuff. I don't think I've ever seen a disease that has affected people with specific problems, like type 1 diabetes and things like that, and really targeted them like this thing has. I mean, I know people that are dead from this, and I actually got somebody sent me something to prove once and for all I'm no chemist. They started talking about spots on the DNA where if you have issues with your DNA that this thing is particularly, I'll use the term offensive, the COVID, way more than a regular flu. And one of them was the diabetes, and there was something else. If you have the gene that the pre-gene for like breast cancer, that's another one. Then they started rattling off all these chemical things where on another chromosome these 8 proteins are screwed up, which a lot of people have. There's people, if you read, that can specifically tell you a lot of the people who are, I'm not talking about, somebody who's 100, which will soon be, I guess all of us will get there before we know it. I'm talking about people with specific health issues that this particular thing, it was way worse than a normal flu.
Well, I'm not saying it's a normal flu, but I'm saying we've had, extraordinarily, virulent and dangerous forms of flu in the past, like Hong Kong in 1968 and swine flu, things like this. Whether they're bioweapons or not, we could fight about, find people to fight about.
Well, I think they're escaped from the lab. I don't think they're a bioweapon.
Right.
I think somebody's trying to...
manipulated, however. I'm not saying people haven't gotten sick from this, but I would never say that people don't get sick from the flu in any year either. And we're talking talking about something that isn't even able to be distinguished in the PSC nasal swab test from flu.
But aren't
they're not going to use the test after December 31st.
Well,
but they're still using it now. So what kind of numbers are they really giving us?
Yeah, but aren't
are
these
two cases, or are these combined with what they want to call COVID, or do they not even know the difference between them? I'll
well,
go with the latter.
I'm going to say...
They don't know the difference between flu and COVID, and it's close enough where they can't distinguish it in the test that they're pushing and using as the case reporting instrument. So the whole thing has just collapsed for
me. But it's, I can't
buy into any of it anymore.
I think it has collapsed, but I tell you what, I am still very concerned that a couple of people that we know, I mean, Maddie's bro had it pretty bad, that how would an old grumpy guy like me could not even really know he had it, and yet people that are way healthier than me and less than half my age, we've had nothing but problems. The variability of this thing has frightened me from day one, and still does. Or at least the flu, you knew, all right, you had 3 days at home, 102, then you slug back to work, and it takes you a week later to get your strength back. We all had, when everybody got it, everybody got it the same way. This, I don't know if it's a fact that it escaped from a lab. This one has frightened me more than anything else, John. I mean, I know when people listen to me, they don't think that they have, and Maddie's had to listen to me all the time.
You know, I'm not saying people shouldn't be worried about it, and you always take care of your health. When you're not feeling well, you stay home. But the idea that you can't do anything today, like work a job
or
anything else, unless you get this particular crap vaccine they're pushing, is beyond
me. Sure, that's beyond crazy.
My brother had COVID. He was down with it for several days. My niece had it, you know, a year and a half ago, was quarantined at Notre Dame for a week. She got vaccinated after that, and she still tested positive 6 months later. The same thing with my other niece. You know, never had COVID, but, you know, got vaccinated, and then, you know, shortly after that, tested positive. So the whole thing has just turned into a big racket.
Well, the testing, for sure, is a racket.
And the people making the money don't want you to think too hard about how idiotic all this really is.
You get total agreement on that.
Can't ignore
Hey, let's go to break. We'll get back. Let's talk about China. SP futures down 16, NASDAQ futures down 45, because the two of us aren't going to solve the COVID issue. I just hope, I don't know, Jan, I just spent my whole life here. I love this city. I was offered a transfer for more money out of here twice and refused to go because this is my home. I look at it right now and I go, what the hell? Why didn't I go to New York and make like $1 billion or something? I mean, what am I doing here? And I can't believe it. I look out the window and I go, look at, you can almost see the moving trucks getting out of here. And then on top of that, you look at the economic turmoil, but it's the people turmoil. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here. What it?
Hello, my big Stacks Jack. Seven time out. He's Mr. Matt Weber. The SP futures down 15. NASDAQ futures down 38. Okay, Mr. Jan Flanagan with us as well. Jan, what your view on, well, first of all, your view on a privacy issue. no, and then we'll talk about this chat. There I was, minding my own business, and I have a in-store credit card from Home Depot for like $13, right? So I go over to the Home Depot and I say to the kid, can I use this card? Oh yeah, no problem. So he throws it in the computer and then he says, well, I need to see your driver's license. I need to see an ID. And I'm thinking, for $13? Oh, okay. Well, I still look pretty honest, I think. I don't have a big old bushy mustache that twists up at the end or anything like that. So I showed the guy my driver's license. So what do you think he does?
Scan it?
Yeah. And I go, what did you just do? Oh, I scanned your driver's license. I said, I don't want you scanning my driver's license. Well, the computer told me to. Now, on the tip of my tongue, my south side acerbic wit was, if the computer would have said, poop your pants, do you do that immediately as well, or what? I mean, what is the matter with you? Well, the computer told me. I said, I don't want it scanned. Well, why not? Because I don't want, and even Home Depot, for God's sake, I don't know what is on a driver's license scan? Your social security number used to be on your driver's license. It isn't anymore. I said, I don't want you scanning it. Well, why not? Because I don't. And you can take the card and shove it somewhere for $13. I don't care. I don't want you scanning my driver's license, at least without asking me. But the computer told me to. I'm thinking, I'm not going to win this argument. I go, just let me get out of here. I'm like, what is going on? And how do these younger people not realize that is an invasion of some sort? I don't know. Am I going to make any difference to my... Well, first of all, why do they have to scan it? What are they going to do with that information? Who do they sell it to? And what the bleep, over? I mean, I honestly don't have any idea. All of us made me pissed.
I was not even aware that my driver's license was scannable.
I didn't either.
I bought beer at Walgreens about 3 years ago or so, and the clerk asked to see my ID. I was very flattered because I look like I'm an octogenarian, but... When I pulled the card out and gave it to the clerk, she flipped the thing over and ran a barcode over it. I was kind of stunned. What was that? She goes, well, just scan your ID. I'm like, oh? Who knew? I never remember there being any talk about why that was on your driver's license and who had access to it. But apparently any vendor can ask for it at will, and you have to surrender it and let them take the information off of it. That's kind of creepy.
Well, the 7-Eleven... Well, Matty, 7-Eleven by us, they used to make the clerk, tap your license number, your driver's license number into the machine. But you could see him doing it and say, what are you doing? Well, I need to. Okay, fine, I don't need to buy the beer, and you could walk out. But the scan part's pretty quick. Does anybody, is any citizen of the state of Illinois, if you asked anybody, well, I don't care if you went to the high-end joint, the low-end joint, wherever you went, and you interviewed people in there, this is a Matty Weber question, is there any person that could tell you what the scan on your driver's license reveals? I can't.
I would bet it would be your height, weight, eye color, certainly your dress, age, all that. I mean, I think, stuff that is the last kind of stuff you want in any kind of a database, because they can tie that to facial recognition. It probably has your photo in there too. So, I don't like any vendor deciding that's data I can somehow use or I'm entitled to have or I can even ask for.
Well, that's a problem. Right. I think I still got like 210 pounds on my legs. They may not think it's me.
Yeah, right.
Plus, I don't think I'm 6'4 anymore. This could be a problem. So, Matty, what if you gain 50 pounds and you hand them your driver's license, they're going to say it's not you or what?
it was a sad day for me when I finally had to change my hair color to gray for my driver's license.
Oh, yeah, I had to do that.
I thought I'd crossed the Rubicon there, yeah.
The last time I went to the Secretary of State, and she goes, hey, it says 210 pounds. Should we put a few on there? I said, yeah, why don't you put 20? She goes.
When she asked if my weight was correct the last time, I said, no, just add a zero.
Oh, God. Anyway, I'm trying to avoid this topic because I don't know where to go with this, Jan. I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, when you, well, I'll tell you what my response has been. I mean, as you know, or Maddie knows probably more because he's here more, I'm very nervous about this. I've been talking for years now about this dollar-denominated China debt because I can't put my finger on how big it is, and I don't know who's involved, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know who's, who. If the dominoes start going, I can't tell you who the dominoes are, and it makes me very, very nervous because I've seen this happen before. So last week, I actually had a whole bunch of money to put to work, which I did, and but I mean, I don't think I've ever put my protected index program on for people tighter than I did last Thursday or Friday. I think I put it on so tight that if the market went to zero tomorrow, they're going to lose like 1%, maybe 1.5%. I mean, that's how tight I was with the calls and the puts. And I don't think I've ever done that before, which means everybody's still in. The market wants to walk up nice and gradually. They'll never notice they were protected. You know, we'll be able to roll calls up and out. Obviously, if we go up 20% today, which I don't think we're going to do, I could have done better by not being so tight. I get that. But I just, here today I'm reading, this is never in a vacuum, Jan. No, you can never just do one thing. Now we're talking about Evergrande. I hear today article by, Weizhen, Weizhen Tan, young lady. By the way, she wrote a great article here talking about all eyes will be on China real estate developer Cynic Holdings, who I've never heard of, which warned last week it's not likely to repay offshore bonds worth $250 million due on Wednesday. We're not talking about interest payment here. It says we're not likely to repay them. So, I mean, a total skunk on the $250. Now, if that's all dollar-denominated, all people in this country, if it's some of a zero-denominator and guys living God knows where that we don't care about maybe, actually maybe care about if it's their money flies over here from there. On Friday, another developer, China Properties Group, said it had defaulted in $226 million worth of notes on Friday. Ratings agency issued a fresh round of downgrades on Chinese property firms last week. It comes as investors remain in limbo as uncertainty over the fate of the heavily indebted Evergrande looms, because their stuff, their 30-day grace period, I think is over on this, I got it in here someplace. Anyway, I think it's open this Thursday. So these developments come as China's central bank said Friday that the risks posed by Evergrande are controllable. Now, you have a much better command in the language than me. What the hell does that mean? And that most real estate businesses in the country are stable. Controllable and stable. Coming from the Chinese central bank, what am I supposed to make of that? However, the People's Bank of China also said property firms that have issued bonds overseas, referred to as offshore bonds, should actively fulfill their debt repayment obligations. Yeah, they should, but if you don't have any money, we're not exactly how do you do that. As the Irish used to say, you can't get blood out of a turnip. All right, so John, how exactly does a guy in my spot, or anybody's spot, how do you know who's holding this stuff? How do you know if they're in trouble? I mean, $250 million in the world of Chinese debt is basically the pimp on the Aspen elephant. I mean, come on, we throw $250 million around here like if it's nothing. Not our way necessarily, but around. So, is all three of these people up to $750 million, is that a problem with the currency reserve the country of China has? No. I don't think. But now, who's it going to? Who's got it here? I mean, we know that BlackRock and some of these other places that have been telling people to get involved in this Chinese stuff for years and still are doing it. You know, when PTI gets an audit, if I have somebody in an exchange-traded type thing, one of those triple short or triple long things that have been approved by the SEC, if I have somebody in there to give me heat. Now, whoever these people are, they could have recommended Chinese bonds to their people, and they're going to get flushed. But they're okay because they're big enough. They can do whatever they want. As you know, I have an edge to me these days. But I don't... How am I supposed to know with nobody talking? You talk about nobody talking about the COVID issues and the vaccines and whether they're working. How, other than this lady writing this article saying that the risks are out there, where's the follow-up? Who's holding this money? Is it retail? Is it companies? Is it insurance firms? Is it municipalities? I don't see any hint in there of that, do you?
No, and I think it's all of those, Tom. It has to be. I mean, there's so much of it, for one thing. And the way it's been pitched and what the Chinese have tried to take advantage of is the fact that this is something that everybody would want to get into. I mean, look at the Biden family. I mean, this there's money to be made in China, or at least there was until fairly recently. The problem I have right now, and, you know, when they start using words like, you know, things are stable, as they said on Friday, that would be okay, I guess, if they had said that 3 or 4 weeks ago when this first started to rumble. Instead, this is the first public statement about Evergrande from not just the central bank, but from the Chinese government at all. And when they start using words like that after what's happened in the last month, where you got defaults on bond payments and, you know, companies going, you know, teetering, and nobody said anything, and now they use these sort of, you know, mush-mouth words to allay fears. I think the timing tells us that they wouldn't have said anything unless they knew now they had to say something, and they said something about as, you know, useless as you could find. But I think they've been pushed to a point where they know that things are about to heat up. Something I didn't realize, Tom, and, you know, maybe you've got some numbers to put against this, but apparently the Chinese real estate market comprises almost 25% of their whole economy. And I don't know the comparable rate in the U.S., but I would bet it would be half of that or less than that. The country's wealth, or even a good portion of it, is really not in real estate.
Boy, I don't know about that.
I mean, I don't think 25% anyway, I would bet. I just think that...
individual people... What percentage of their wealth is in their real estate?
Individual people, but, you know, you look at the typical house, and, you know, you total all that up, and you look at what else there is when it comes to wealth that isn't measured in terms of land. I would bet the U.S. is probably around, well, what I mentioned, 12%?
I would have expected you, with your background, to come up with a higher number. You know, I wouldn't even know how to estimate that. I have to think about that for a while. But here's the paragraph on Evergrande. This week, Evergrande will officially be in default if it doesn't pay up for interest to a U.S. dollar-denominated offshore bond. The payment was due in late September, but has a 30-day grace period. That's what Russell's talking about. It's late this week. The company has kept silent on coupon payments for four other bonds that were due in the past few weeks. So they all have these 30-day grace periods to them. By the way, coming flashing across the tape, his Colin Powell just died.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Former Secretary of State who made the case for Iraq invasion dies of COVID complications, which I don't know what that means.
84.
I was always a huge fan of Colin Powell. I don't know about you were, John, but I thought he was, he actually spoke the truth. And the one time he didn't, and I think he pretty much retired because of it, when they said, talk about all those weapons of mass destruction that weren't there.
That's when I parted company with him.
But I think he
part of the problem, not the solution.
But I think he personally was really ticked off that he was given that information.
He was used, absolutely.
But he knew it. He knew it. Yeah. And I think I respected him for that he knew he was used. Anyway, I was a fan. I was always a fan. On a personal level. I mean, anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll take him over, you know, Mark Milley any day.
God, yeah. Oh, without even Claudium close. But I'm saying, no, so Jan, when you say everybody, I don't know why I'm giving you grief this morning, but I am, that's not true. Because, I mean, a guy like me, I mean, I have, you know, between the different places that I manage money, there's a lot of dough involved. I can't imagine. I mean, you could be one of these sneaky guys. I could see you walking in someday with a $100 million check, or if it was a $1 billion check. I wouldn't begin to drop you in some... There's a real high level on the pyramid. I won't say high in terms of classier or smarter, but a real high level of the pyramid that has access to one of these things. And I'm not it. I mean, I don't even think I could do it through RBC. I'm sure I couldn't do it through. Maybe I could through IBD. They do a lot of stuff over. But they wouldn't lob one of these things at me. They'd say, "Who the hell are you doing that for?" I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, who an individual being at the point where I'm going to say. We need to buy a bond in a Chinese real estate firm. I mean, maybe it's because I just don't like going out of stuff I know. But I'm going to say I'll ask Dan Janita. So I'll bet even Dan, who's worked in these areas his whole life, wouldn't touch one of these things for his people. Adam, what do you think, Matt? You've heard him as much as I have. I don't even think he would go out that far.
I don't think he would. I think he's,
no.
He's extremely savvy and has a long view of these things.
I mean, and I just don't, especially one that couldn't go through the Chinese system. I mean, granted, if it's a dollar denominated, you don't have the currency risk. Well, you have the currency risk, they don't pay you, I guess. But you don't have the risk versus the Chinese yuan, although if the yuan were to go down, then the person has less risk paying you, or less chance to pay you. But, I mean, I don't even know at what level at which you'd be. I mean, this would be the BlackRock guys. This would be the Goldman guys. That's why when there's trouble, it's always the same people. You know, because they somehow find their guys places to get in places like this, whoever their guys are. So the question is, you know, who, if they don't get this particular payment, can't make their payment on the next thing, and the next thing, and all of a sudden you find out that, you know, the bond for the local grocery store has got a problem. I mean, I hope it doesn't get down that low, but they had, without a trace on it, this is the kind of stuff, and this is why I rag huge on places like the Federal Reserve. This is why we have them. They should know exactly where the risk in this stuff. They're the only people that have access to that kind of knowledge. I mean, they're the people that have been scanning the barcodes of every bank for the last 100 years, right?
Right, and they'll be. They've only started down that path. When do they start looking at your $600 transactions?
Well, no, that's the IRS. That's the
yeah,
bank.
Right.
The banks always had that information, and I think the government always could find that information, like the FBI. If they wanted to know that what you did in a bank and they had a warrant, I think they could always get it. I mean, it was there. The banks kept track of it. But the idea that the IRS would just get it shipped to them, I didn't realize until Lou talked about it last week, or maybe you know more as an attorney than me, that there actually was or supposed to be a pretty big size separation between what the IRS can get and what the rest of the government's got. At least that's what the lip service they give to people.
That's what they would like us to believe, and I think it's true to some extent.
Well, but
your tax returns are nobody's business.
Well,
nobody else's business. Then yours and the IRS. So,
What did you think of the conversation last week? That you know, the guys like Lou and, well, Kevin's not an attorney, but he knows an awful lot about stuff. The idea that you know, people. The government essentially shoving stuff down the line to, we can't tell you to get a vaccine, but we're going to tell your boss to fire you if you don't get it. I mean, which is a very Nazi-esque sort of thing, in my opinion. The thing that I think Lou and you and Kevin and Brendan don't quite get is that's been going on in my business now for a long time. It's not even a surprise to me. And really, even though, the lawyers on the show will never say they're stunned. I think I got them stunned with that one. I don't think to this day they realize, even though I've tried to explain it, how invasive our industry is towards what you have to do to your employees. And it gets worse by the week. And this is not new to me at all. They've been using our industry as a, you know, what do you call it? A
bellwether.
A bellwether or something. Yeah. Or, you know, I have no idea why. I mean, why all of a sudden is it PTI Securities' concern whether somebody decides to attend bar on a Saturday night, one night a month? I mean, it never even dreamed to me that was my business.
As a teacher, I was, I was assumed that I would not work a second job. And there were plenty of teachers who did it. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they had expenses that their salary didn't cover, or they had business connections that predated their time as a teacher. But I mean, I knew people who were called on the carpet for this, telling them you
really
couldn't do this. There's nothing legally they could do about it. But they said, we're watching you. We disapprove of this, and we would like you to stop doing it, or we will get our satisfaction some other way. We'll downsize your department. We'll eliminate your department. Who knows? But they did have recourse like that.
Why?
So it's extortion with kid gloves. You know, once you force people to do something that is disadvantageous to you, but advantageous.
Oh yeah, Jan, you got to back up here. You got to back up.
Yeah.
Now in our industry, it's totally driven by the government, by FINRA. I mean, who told your school to do that?
Oh, nobody, I don't think, told them to do it, but they, you know, they decided, here's authority we have no reason to believe we can't exercise, until we're told to stop doing it. And maybe if somebody were to grieve it as a union matter or whatever else, we're going to try to do it. And, you know, I know they tried to do this. And so it's the same thing with, you know, the aldermen. I mean, the aldermen in Chicago weren't supposed to have second jobs. I don't think there's a single alderman that didn't have a much more lucrative job on the side.
No, wait a minute.
Council member, so.
Now, you should notice that alderman specifically is defined as a part-time job.
Yeah.
Well, yours wasn't. Your teacher was considered a full-time job.
Right.
I'm stunned what you're just telling me. I mean, you're saying that a chairman of a, I guess, let's put it this way. If you're a teacher in the finance department and you have, you know, if you're a, and you've got PhD students working on stuff for you to turn around and sell that to another, to a firm or something and be a, you know, a closet analyst for them, I guess I can see where that road goes. But if you're an English professor and you decide to remodel houses on a weekend, why is that anybody's business?
Of course, I agree with you completely, Tom. But what I'm saying is that the administration looked upon a teaching job as a 40-hour work week, which I guess, you know, if it's full-time employment, I guess that is fair. But that included the time in the classroom, your prep time, your grading papers, attendance at meetings, college events, whatever. And how could you possibly have time to do anything else for pay? I mean, this is, to me, it's beyond draconian that they would even think this was any of their business. But I'm just saying they tried to muscle their way.
Well, this is so much change. I mean,
whether they had authority or not is, of course, another matter.
Well, the electricians at Pullman, the thought that they wouldn't let a guy go to help somebody wire a house on a Saturday, they would never even dream to tell anybody that.
Right. Or any place else.
As long as you're
upholding your end of the deal,
yeah,
as an employee, nobody had the right to tell you you couldn't do anything else with your time as you saw fit.
Well, not everybody seems to have the right to tell everybody everything, it appears.
Well, they do. Unfortunately, I mean, there's no privacy anymore. Your life is an open book. And especially now, where your ability to get on a bus in some countries is at the whim of the government. If you don't have your vaccine papers, you got to walk.
You know what? I have a job uniquely Jan Flanagan. I wonder if you can find out what's in the barcode on your driver's license.
Well, I'll play dumb, which is easy for me these days, Tom, and I'll start calling around.
I Googled it, and it's just what you think it is. It's your, the expiration date, your driver's license number, your name, your height, your weight, your date of birth. It's everything that's listed on the front.
And I would bet it will also include, at some level, your previous addresses, previous, you know, information about you, whatever, mailing address, all these things, including your traffic record, too, probably.
I got something in the mail from somebody, or an email, you know, talking about people knowing stuff about me. They had stuff on there that they knew the first car I owned. The only place you get that is from the Secretary of State. How open are these guys?
Well, I remember, you know, applying for a mortgage some years ago, and, you know, the credit inquiry to distinguish me from some other deadbeat with my name, and maybe,
oh god,
maybe it was me too. Can you verify?
On Thursday, I got a great story about that. My lady used to work for me named Sharon King. They did a police thing on her. It was hilarious. Anyway, SP Futures down 17, NASDAQ Futures down 42. Let's just say there's a lot of Sharon Kings around, and some of them aren't nice people. We'll be right back, Mr. Mike Hart.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 online on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. I'm a little bit behind here because I got a trivia question for you. Here we got it, though. And I was digging it up. It's just the way I am. I always have trivia questions for you. Actually, it's not a trivia question. It's an opinion question. S&P futures down 1675. NASDAQ futures down 45. So we were down here. Then we came back to only down 10. Now we're back down here. Dow futures down 130. They had made it to only down 90. Even though they've snuck back the other way. Snuck back. I mean, that's a word. But DAX down 113. That's more than they were. 0.7%. FTSE down 35.5. All these guys have sunk. We got the CAC now down a full 1%, 67 points. It's in the last hour. These guys have degraded here pretty good. Friday, Dow Jones again. Big Friday, up 382 points. S&P up 33. NASDAQ futures or NASDAQ on Friday up 74. So Friday was a big up move. Big strong week last week. Now, whether we give it, actually, there was a couple of predictions that I heard through listeners and everybody today. According to a couple of people, it was going to be the biggest down move in the history of the market. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I can say, maybe Mike will say it will, and we could get some footies for tonight, but I don't think he will. Nikkei down 43.1%, Shanghai down 4, call that flat. Hang Seng up 78.3%, so pretty quiet over in Asia. Bonds, wow, up 3 basis points now to 1.61. The Bund, positive 0.02 to minus 0.14. Japan, back up to positive 0.09, so that's been their high, and that's where they are, well, recent high. That's where they're back to. Oil, up $1.28, that's 1.5%, 83.56. Brent up 85 cents, 85.71, that's a full percentage. Natural gas down 22 to 5.18, that's down a full dollar from the top, wow. They got the 6-something, everybody thought it was going to 10, and now it's dropped a buck. You can't always listen to everybody. RBOB up 2 cents to 2.51, I paid 243, man, I did notice the guy by you, 409. So that's what, a 60 cent run from the suburbs to the city. That's kind of a lot. Gold down 290 now, was down more earlier, 1765. Silver down 3 cents now, only 2331. Copper up a penny, and we've got Bitcoin up 376 to 60,945. It was over 61 last time we checked. Maddie, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. That earlier two semi crash on the tri-state at 95th Street is all clear, so that's good news. We now have a semi issue on the Eisenhower. Apparently a semi fire reported coming off the ramp from Mannheim is now blocking the right center lane on the inbound Eisenhower right at US 12. Near Mannheim there due to this vehicle fire. So crews are on the scene trying to get that put out, but that's causing delays, major delays coming inbound on I-290. So avoid that if you can. We also have heavy traffic building on the Kennedy. No accidents to report, just high traffic volumes. Eden's looking okay. Same for the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking normal, as is Lakeshore Drive. Off the expressways, down south there's a crash, 151st Street at Central Avenue. Out west, looks like there's an accident, Route 83 at 3rd Avenue, and then out in Wheaton, Route 59 at Hawthorne Lane, there is an accident. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, mild temperatures, a beautiful mid-October day as we'll reach a sunny high of 70. Right now it is clear and 52 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 84 today. Right now it's clear and 65. In sports, the Bears dropped to 3-3, losing at home to Green Bay yesterday, 24-14. Bears had a 7-0 lead and trailed 17-14 in the second half, but gave up a late touchdown and couldn't get anything going as they dropped to 3-3 on the year. Arizona is undefeated at 6-0 now as they went to Cleveland and blew out the Browns 37-14. Sunday Night Football, it was the Steelers outlasting the Seahawks 23-20 in overtime. Major League Baseball, Braves are now up 2-0 on the Dodgers in the NLCS as they won Game 2 5-4. And lastly, congratulations to the Chicago Sky of the WNBA. They're your 2021 WNBA champions as they beat the Phoenix Mercury 3-1 in the finals, winning yesterday 80-74, clinching their first title. Chief.
Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Chief. How you doing?
Doing all right. And I have all kinds of direct and probing questions for our VIX genius, given that this week is supposed to be the big week. But I have a question for the both of you guys, they say on the South Side. If Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, and Ted Williams played baseball in this era, who do you think would be the most effective and least effective player, and why?
I'm going to defer to Matt on that one.
Ty Cobb, Ted Williams, and who's the third one? Cy Young?
Babe Ruth.
Oh, Babe Ruth. Least effective, and I mean, I would have no idea. No one can answer that. I think they would all be effective because they were so great that I think that their talent would translate to any era. Babe Ruth was out of shape, and I don't know if that translates as well to today's game where it's, you know, players are very athletic. But he could DH and he could still hit and still be effective. Ted Williams would be my guess, but I don't know a lot about Cy Young or whoever.
Ty Cobb.
I mean, he was 1800s.
No, he was later than that.
Cobb? Yeah, I thought he was late 1800s.
No. He and Babe Ruth, I think, crossed paths.
Yeah, I don't know. What does this author say?
Ty Cobb would probably be in prison. Or in and out of prison, which would rather hamper his playing career. I guess that would. Ted Williams would be at the top or near the top of the league, as he would absolutely love all the analytics available to him.
That's what I thought. I thought in my head he would be the best, but who knows?
Because he was analytics before there was analytics.
Ty Cobb played, sorry, I said 1800s. It was 1905. I was a little
off. When did he last until when?
But he did play a long time. Yeah. He played until 1928.
I say he and Ruth were in the league at the same time for quite a while together.
Yeah. But 1905 is when he debuted, and I thought he was like 1899.
No, he was older than that, or younger than that. But so Ted Williams, and he was hitting against defensive shifts before defensive shifts were cool. So anyway, he had that.
So what do you say about Babe Ruth?
Says Babe Ruth would also probably be near the top of the league. He probably would have been kept a pitcher, which is interesting. He had a 94-46 lifetime record with a 2.28 earned run average, and with DH on his days off.
Yeah, he'd be the modern Otani.
Yeah,
he would maybe be an Otani, but he was such a good hitter. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather have a guy that can play every day for you than a guy that every fifth day. And once I saw his hitting ability, I'd put him at DH. You could still pitch him, I guess, every fifth day, but yeah. He'd be DHing for me.
The question I would have is, could he stay healthy? The Babe loved the party, and there's all kinds of ways to wreck your health these days that weren't as common back then. I never even thought of that. God. Mike, we've been putting it off for an hour and a half. What's going on here? We got the VIX down to, in a week that everybody's convinced, which I think they'll be wrong, is going to be like our worst week in the history of the world. We had the VIX actually drop below 17 on Friday. Now it's back up today. And I'm reading, I don't know if you caught it earlier, I'm reading about all these other firms in China here that are going to miss. I don't know if you read this article on CNBC by Wizen Tan, a young lady in China Properties Group, I never heard of, said that they defaulted on a $226 million worth of notes on Friday. So other outfits, Cynic Holdings, never heard of them, which you probably have. They claim they're not going to pay their $250 million due this Monday. And oh, by the way, Monday being today, and investors don't look like they're going to get their Evergrande interest payment that's due, what, Thursday or Friday or something. So is this thing getting worse, or people just kind of piling on at the last minute to all the news out in 1 week? Is it going to affect anybody? How do you judge?
Personally, I think the market's a great discounter in the present. So if there were a lot of fear out there, I think we'd see a VIX much higher than 17.59, which it's at right now. Last week, the week before, we saw VIX creep above 20 at a certain point. If there is a lot of fear, it certainly isn't being demonstrated right now in the VIX. I'm not saying 15.5 print tick in the VIX is extremely low. I mean, that's still volatility, and it is calling for uncertainty in the future here, but it's not screaming at us, hey, there's a ton of volatility here, look out. And my experience is the weeks where it's always what we're not expecting that causes the most havoc, then those problems that seem to be in focus. Typically we can get through those problems that are in focus, and it's the problems that sort of blindside the market that tend to cause the most volatility.
Well, as usual, Mike, when I have you, I'm gonna dig a little deeper. When you say the market, now if we're talking about Caterpillar, say, and you guys, you know, you're associated with a firm that's obviously a lot bigger than PTI. You guys probably have some people that maybe actually watch Caterpillar or even may have an idea what they're going to do earnings-wise and those kinds of things. I mean, I would love to have a couple people here that I could have in the... Actually, I've told you before, I think my opinion where I would want my first two people would be in the biotech industry and the oil industry, because I think research in the oil industry is who has more gas versus oil, depending on how prices are moving. I think that kind of stuff is really valuable. Whether we could actually make money on it or not, I don't know. But I guess my point is, the market could include you and me at that level, or our people. When it comes down to, I was just talking to John Flanagan about it, when it comes down to who the hell has the debt to Cynic Holdings, who I've never friggin' heard of, and who's gonna get a chat in the short hairs today for $250 million, I have no idea, and I'm not so sure you guys do either. Maybe you do. But I'm saying, when you say the market, when you start talking about firms like this, it's such a narrow group of people that are involved. It's like, who the hell is really in long-term capital management, or who had Argentinian debt? I don't know who those people are. I mean, maybe you do. That's why I'm asking. But
right.
How is it exactly I was supposed to know the amount of people borrowing in Japan in 2008 and borrowing, you know, and using the money to buy mortgage bonds here? I mean, how the hell am I spending it? That maybe is like the Fed's job or somebody's job or the comptroller. I mean, you and I think we're a big part of, quote, the market when it comes to judging. Now, I have clients. I buy stuff. You have clients. Your place buys stuff for people. You guys have people that do stuff for other people. That's, to me, the market. When I start talking about Chinese dollar-denominated debt, I don't know any of those people. I mean, it's no part of my market.
Right.
I mean, so when you say it should already be out there, I don't know. What are you talking about, and are they talking?
Right. Well, you know, I think you got to look at it more as, like, macro trends, you know, from the biggest picture possible, because you're right. On a smaller scale, there's so many moving parts. When you're talking about the market, and we're trying to put everything down into one quote in the VIX, one quote in the market price, and you've got a million moving parts within it, it becomes really difficult to pinpoint, the catalyst that is actually the big mover of the market, or what's really causing, like, the pain. I didn't actually hear that this week was going to be, you know, the week to look out for, but we know historically October tends to be a more volatile month. It's just interesting when you do run the numbers, you don't normally find anomalies in the market. October does tend to show a little bit more volatility than other months.
Well, we had a couple of people were very concerned with those VIX spreads we've talked about. the why people think the November VIX is supposed to, you know, in a couple people's minds anyway, explode in the October wasn't. And Russell came up with one of the, his idea, because I asked him, do you have any idea whatsoever? And he said, maybe it's because of the Evergrande stuff being due the end of the week, which is essentially 2 days after the October VIX expires, and it would be the November VIX that was affected if any of them were. Which it was just a, mm-hmm. a thought, because we'll put it this way, we couldn't find any other reasons, so that was one of the reasons we tossed out there. But I did, I guess what I'm saying is the danger on this kind of stuff, I mean, today you've got the, you know, the Chinese Central Bank saying that the problems are controllable. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know if controllable would mean if one of our guys said it, and here's a guy using a translator to say that. What does that even mean? Is it? I mean, I would be the most. I mean, all I know is I'm looking at this and I'm a little nervous. So I got my people tied up tighter than a drum with puts and stuff. So we're real protected. You know, if it runs up, we'll participate some. But I mean, who's supposed to be able to get our hands? Let's say this: when I came out of University of Chicago, Mike. As much of a confidence you have in quote the market, I was 10 times Mike. It was driven into our head. It was driven into our head as how sacred the market was. That if the, you know, if Matty Weber is the chairman of XYZ Corp and they heard him groaning in the can, the stock could be down 2% before he even got out of the can. I mean, that's how efficient people thought the market was, and they really believed it. They really believed it. And now I saw the 2007 fiasco, and that news was out there. I mean, or it wasn't out there. I mean, there's people that I have a lot of respect for. You know, Pete Najarian and the guys on TV saying that this Bear Stearns had to be a huge buy at $30, and 2 days later it was out of business. Now, Pete's no idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think that what all the stuff that people used to believe was in the market, I don't know that it is anymore. I don't know that I trust it. I mean, in terms of are these people hiding something? Is there something offshore? I mean, those Bear Stearns have 25, ever since the Enron thing, I've gone the other way. I mean, here's the guys that managed to blow crap by that. And oh, by the way, they had was Phil Graham. It was Senator's wife on the board. So, I mean, somehow the tie up between the Federal Reserve, the Comptroller, the Congress, and these big companies, my trust factor is at an all time low. I mean, so talk me out of that. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, it's not so much you're wrong. What I think is going on is we look at correlations a lot in the market, and correlations are things that typically move together or things that move apart from each other. So you might say if the market is going down and fear is increasing, people might move to safer assets like gold or bonds or You look for those connections within the market, and that's how we help to make sense of what is going on. And when it's a little confusing now because our typical correlations aren't holding up. So we're seeing breakdowns in traditional correlations. It's making it harder to interpret what exactly is going on, and also where should money be moved? Where should we be investing during these times because everyone's chasing returns in the market, which seems like the only outlet to go to, or otherwise, you know, you have that FOMO if you're missing out on a market move higher. But the higher we go, it seems the more fear that creeps in the market. So I don't think you're wrong, Chief.
I mean, I'd love to see. I mean, I guess what I'd. My bottom line thing is I think we have a less than 1% chance of this stuff in China blowing through China's reserves and everything else. But I think if that less than 1% chance happens, there's a 100% chance that everybody we know is going to be late to the intelligence buffet.
Right.
So I don't know where that puts me.
I think that's fair.
Because and the fact is, I think our Fed is... If I was the chairman of the Fed, that's all we'd be talking about this morning. I'd have a special meeting that nobody knew about, and I'd say, don't tell anybody we're having this meeting. I don't know if you can do that with the public, you know, maybe you can. I want to know, what is our risk if these guys start to go under? Who the hell's involved? The guys that are involved, how I don't care about the banks stress test. I want to know if one bank is up to his eyeballs in this, and if they are, who do they take down with them? I'd be on this morning like white on rice. And I get the feeling we're not.
I got to agree with you. I mean, I think you read about the problem. I mean, we can only go off of the information that we're given, and it does have the sense that the problem runs much, much deeper than it seems on the surface. But like you said in the beginning, long-term capital management, Argentina, that contagion idea, it's for real. We've seen it. We saw it happen in 2018 when the Chinese debt, there was a Chinese debt crisis that caused massive panic around the world. We saw markets sell off around that. There is this interconnectedness, and you have banks going under in China, for example. The problem runs very deep, and it can spread globally, and it would affect our markets.
Well, and I would hope that at the end of the day, or the end of the week, I get some report that says, well, here's the guys that are up to their eyeballs. By the way, they'd lose $1 billion and they got five, so let's not worry about it. Okay. That's the answer I want, right?
Right.
But I at least want to know, last thing I want to do is be surprised at that level. And I think these guys, I don't know how deep they are into this. I question their ability. I mean, we've got people that are in office that you wonder why they're spending their time and what they're spending their time on, or at least that's what we're led to believe. So what is the day like today? Looks like we're leaking a little bit. I mean, nothing major after as much as we were up last week. What are you expecting this week?
This week, I'm not, to be completely honest, I am not expecting, you know, the rally we saw on Friday, I think was sort of a relief rally. But there still seems to be weakness to me in this market. Our sell-off seems to be several days in a row, or at least a couple days in a row. We're, for the first time in a little while, we're off those highs. And, you know, I'd be watching the downside this week. And I know I said that last week, but that's just the way I've kind of turned on this market. With the amount of news out there, on a macro level, there seems to be enough fear out there to keep this market on the downside.
Mike, what are you seeing in terms of? I mean, it used to be, you know, mutual fund flows were the big thing, and you know, and then I think lately, there's people that have sent me stuff that say in the last even 10 years that most of the new money really been put into the market has come from corporations buying their own stock. I don't know. I don't know if that's true now or whatever, but it seemed to me last week for the first time, I kind of noticed that every day that we were down, maybe it was more the week before that, at the end of the day, we kind of pulled the rug out. There wasn't that reservoir of mutual fund buying every day. It was almost like the other way. What are you seeing? I haven't checked that in a while. Are you seeing anything? Where do you think the retail flow is? Is it in or out?
I would guess, and this is just my guess, retail flows generally going in. You know, once we see the retail level start pulling out, we usually see a faster move to the downside. We see that volatility tick a little bit higher. It seems to me, because the prices are maintaining in a relative level, that you're not seeing the retail order flow pull out yet. And there might not be a lot of new buying in this market because we have been kind of stalled out for at least a little while at these levels. So my thought is when you start seeing the retail pull out, you're going to see an acceleration of the downside. And man, we have rallied so much this year that, you know, a sell-off could be fast and pretty large and take everyone by surprise. So it's good to stay protected like you tend to do with your fund.
What, real quick, we don't have much time, but this weekend or this will be about next, tomorrow maybe, or Wednesday, depending on who, I didn't think you want to listen to it. I was going to do a kind of an inflation rant that I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to see, if they're honest at all, and we get some kind of an adjustment on housing prices, I think we could see a few quarters next year where we're like somewhere in the 8 to 12 range, like over 10. And And if all of a sudden these bonds start to reflect that, and like the TLT were dropped from like 144 to like 110, where do you think the market goes? I mean, is, you know, people, what kind of a reaction do you think it's going to be? How quick and or if any?
I think you'll see a big reaction, because what you will see, you know, I was talking correlations, but you know, the bond market correlation is still very strong, and it does exist. And you see that type of movement in things like TLT, or you know, the 30-year bond, or wherever you're looking, anywhere along the curve. I think you're going to see a hard and fast market move.
Well, on that note, Mike, talk to you next Monday. Is it Jeff or you tomorrow? Jeff?
It's Jeff tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the only thing he wants to talk about is inflation issue, which I'm all excited about. Anyway, thank you very much, buddy. Have a good week. S&P futures down 23, NASDAQ futures down 72. It's the lowest we've seen it. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.